An absolute philosopher lives a very simple life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the absolute philosopher. The absolute philosopher lives a very interesting life. The absolute philosopher is always in charge of his thought. Is always in charge of his attitude, his world. And his thought says all is. His attitude says all is. And in his world, all is. Now that sounds like a very simple approach. Yes, a very simple approach, but a very intensive and a very deep approach. What is the difference between an absolute philosopher and a human philosopher? A human philosopher thinks about possibilities and thinks about ways in which those possibilities could be brought forth. The absolute philosopher thinks of all those same things, but does not think of them as possibilities. The absolute philosopher knows that all is. There is nothing created nor destroyed. There is nothing new. There is nothing old. There is nothing in the consciousness of the universe, which is our consciousness, that is not known to us right now. Everything is known. And every possibility that is revealed as, say, time goes on, well, it's already known. It's already an awareness. Just as Leonardo da Vinci designed the submarine before they had the ability to have an engine in it, even an engine, before they had the ability to put air properly into it. He designed the diving bell before they even had air to put into it. Interesting, huh? But you see, they all exist. True, his crude, elementary way of making the drawings and making his awareness at that time was, by our standards, very simplistic. However, it always existed and always will exist. The human philosopher likes to philosophize about possibilities and probabilities, and the absolute philosopher recognizes that any thought that comes into his mind, his consciousness, his awareness, his world, it's a thought that is there in its completion. It's not a thought that is evolving, not a thought that is manifesting itself in some special way, but it already is there in its fullness. When we choose to be an absolute philosopher, we ipso facto let go of all the human philosophers' attitudes and the human manner of looking at things. For the absolute philosopher looks at everything as already complete, already done, as an is. Now, another aspect of this, the human philosopher does not necessarily look at something as good and bad. He looks at something that could be termed good and bad, and that the person who reads what they say and hears what they say might interpret it as good and bad. But the absolute philosopher knows nothing of good and bad. A house is, a volcano is, an earthquake is, a beautiful dropped rainstorm is. All these things are just is-es, not just is-es, but they are an is in themselves, totally complete, totally wonderful, and totally magnificent. And there is not a bad thing about it. It's an is. How can one say there is something bad about an is? Well, the absolute philosopher has long since trained his consciousness to flow in this is awareness. And as the absolute consciousness, the absolute philosopher's consciousness, flows, and this is awareness, magic takes place in his thinking. Wisdom takes place in his thinking. Now wisdom's a human element. Yes, that's true. But in explaining the absolute philosopher's way of thinking, sometimes he has to explain it to humans, and it takes a little wisdom to do that. And the wisdom that the absolute philosopher uses in doing that is to discuss, ensure, train, teach, open the mind of those who are listening to the idea that these things do exist in themselves without any other ramification to it. They exist not because of something else or because they're going to accomplish something, but because they are. A drop of water held in suspension is there as it is. A rapid shutter photograph takes a picture of a drop of water hanging in the air. And another drop that has splashed in the water below, making it into a beautiful pattern. Now, a photograph taken an instant later would make all of those things slightly different. And an instant later, again, be slightly different. Every single instant, every now, the existence of whatever exists has its uniqueness about it. But its uniqueness is only relative to its allness, because it has a full pattern to it. It has a full allness to it, a oneness to it. And this is why we say that we are one as all, and that we have the capacity to use the one mind and be aware of it as an absolute philosopher or as anyone. First, we have to allow ourselves to realize that that does exist. And then secondly, that we have the capacity to be aware of it on whatever level excites us. Being an absolute philosopher is a new and exciting game, because it takes me into the realm of a whole new attitude of mind. The attitude of mind of all exists as it is in the now, and I am there. It's kind of exciting. Play these games with me each day and take the course of the University of Philosophy and find out how exciting it is to enter into this field of thinking and realize that as you do, you are the master of all. What a glorious arrangement. What a glorious awareness. What a glorious beingness. You're wonderful. Thank you for listening. I love you. I love you. I love you.